The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus prayed for his disciples, saying, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. The old saying goes, a picture is worth a thousand words, and of course it's very true. It's true of pictures and true of certain symbols. Though they certainly don't elicit a thousand words, the symbols, let's say, of a man and woman on a restroom door tells you who is expected to enter, without needing an identifying word or explanation. We encounter many such symbols in our daily lives. A cross on a building or near a building tells you it's a place of Christian worship. A Star of David, it could be, for a Jewish synagogue. A cigarette with a red circle and a line through it says, no smoking. So many of the symbols don't need a lot of words to get the message across. However, when it comes to a very popular symbol, with a multitude of meanings, there is probably none better than this. A heart, okay, which has become the symbol for the word love. Over the years, I've seen many, many bumper stickers or decals on automobiles that state this, I heart my whatever. I've seen them with many, for a dog, I heart my dog, many, regardless of the breed. You could be, I heart my cat, and that for the same reason, or I heart my martini, but that's probably not something that you would see on a bumper sticker, as delicious as they might be. I have even noticed recently the heart symbol used in a completely different context, used by the women's basketball superstar, Caitlin Clark, and she does this as a sign to her team after it's finished. And she does this, a heart symbol to them and her fans for what they mean to her, what is strong in their hearts. But of all the places for the heart love symbol, probably no doubt at all, it would be today for mom, on Mother's Day, of course. And it's obvious that the ways you love your dog or your martini or your team members or your mom are different, or at least they ought to be. Still, the same love symbol, the heart, is used, a simple little image that carries a mountain of meaning. Mother's Day is a day where love is honored, mother for child, child for mother. A potent kind of love, a powerful, enduring kind of love, so universally honored that Mother's Day is recognized the world over. At least 161 countries have such a day, 104 in May, and 82 the second Sunday of May, today, May 12th. Mother's Day is being observed today not just in the United States, but in Aruba and Australia, Croatia and Cuba, China and Greece, Hong Kong and China, Pakistan and Singapore, Trinidad and Zimbabwe. Easter may be Christianity's big day, but Mother's Day sweeps across all countries and all religions. I read somewhere that the day started with honoring Jesus' mother, Mary, but the fact is the observance of Mother's Day stretches far back into pre-Christian times. But getting back to the heart symbol, the nature of love honored in mother is not only for actual mothers, but for all women, and men too. It is a love shown in compassion, patience, and determination not to give up in the face of difficulties, which is the type of love embodied in Jesus and the type of love which is expected to be found in us, in you and me. However, we do have a problem in dealing with the word love, for it has been so overused, its meaning blurs. It appears 260 times in the New Testament, and the first letter of John, which we've been hearing for the past several weeks, uses it over and over again to the point where it's almost tedious. But the word used for love in the New Testament is very, very specific. In English, we have the one word love to cover a multitude of feelings, and we depend on the context of what we're saying to interpret our meaning. The Greek language, the language in which the New Testament was composed, had four words for love. The word eros meant romantic love, and it's often what comes to mind when we hear the word. Philios means friendship love, that which binds friends together. Then came storge, which expressed the affection you hold for a child or a pet. And finally, there was agape, sacrificial love, when you act for the good of another person, even if you deprive yourself at the same time. When the phrase God is love is found in Christian scripture, agape is the word that was used for it. And it seems that this is the type of love honored on Mother's Day in actual mothers and women in general. It is the type of love which can also bind a congregation into a powerful group, but only if it's prayed for, sought by each individual member. For agape, not depending on sentiment or self-seeking, is the love that is a gift from God for the person who asks. And that is what we of Jesus need to pray for each day. For can you say right now, this very moment, that you love the person sitting next to you? Or maybe a pew across the aisle, can you actually say you love that person? Or even someone in the congregation you just don't like? If you cannot say you love that person, you see what God in Christ is calling you to do. For until you and I have become carriers of that particular kind of love, that agape, self-sacrificing love, we will never, as a congregation, become what God knows we can be, what we will be, if each of us seeks it with all our heart. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 15, a passage before today's reading, Jesus says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, the author of the fourth gospel, with the same spirit in the three letters by John in the New Testament, saw the community of Jesus' followers, the church, faced definite danger, much danger from the outside, in the general rejection they experienced by the society in which they lived, where the Christian group was often seen as something suspicious, something secretive. Forces of fear and anxiety attacked them. but even on the inside of those churches with tension as different interpretations of Jesus arose, interplaying with the ideas in the culture at large, arguments threatening to wreck the young church, forces of anger and forces of mistrust. That's what the church was in. The author saw that the only answer to health in the group was a force not only equal to, but stronger than, the spiritual enemies impinging on their thoughts and their feelings. Hence the great stress placed upon love, love as experienced in Jesus, love as commanded by Jesus, ordered by Jesus, demanded by Jesus. Now, it is not possible to command a person to romantically care for another person. That's eros. It is not possible to command a person to like another person, philios. Certainly not possible to command a person to have kindly feelings for a child or a pet, storge. But it is possible to command a person to develop within heart, mind, and spirit a force that seeks the well-being of another, not dependent on sentiment or feelings. That's what Jesus displayed throughout his contacts with people, the sick, the people society rejected, the marginalized people. I don't think Jesus actually liked many of those people, but he certainly loved them. There's a big difference. That's the heart of agape, the word used over and over and over in the fourth gospel and in John's letters, and also used several years actually earlier than this gospel by St. Paul. Paul uses that word, agape, in the powerfully written 13th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, where he spells out what agape love is all about. Paul slammed home the message that the argumentative Christian group, Corinthian group, could only survive their troubles by praying for and receiving and then cultivating, nurturing agape as the life force of their community. And that's what the author of the fourth gospel was doing several years later when he stressed over and over to his community that the only way they could survive in their culture, in their time, was agape, that type of love which he saw as commanding his disciples if they were to live on as friends and disciples. We of this congregation, Christ the King, we of the 21st century, are certainly faced with spiritual forces that seek to ruin us, and they are all around, as is every church in every age. But this in our time, our community, we need to face those powerful forces that seek to undo and confuse and distress us with the weapon which God has given us. And that weapon that we can face it with is love. Not soft love, not sweet sentimental love, but powerful agape love. The heart is a symbol of agape, the most potent symbol, the most powerful symbol we have for the congregation as that God wills us to have. It is the force, the spiritual force of God, and remember, God is agape love, that you can pray for, open up to, receive in mind and spirit, and develop right here in our interactions with each other. And as the cultivation of that love force enabled Paul's troubled church in Corinth to survive, and John's troubled church in Ephesus to survive, this power awaits our prayer and reception and cultivation by each of us and by all of us. Now, the love associated with mother on this Mother's Day shares much of this agape theme. Often, of course, the image of mother is highly idealized. I remember, as some of you might remember, but probably not, there was an old sentimental song entitled Mother. M is for the many things she gave me. O is only because she's growing old, and so on and so forth. But mother as the sweet old thing baking cookies is an image that doesn't have a realistic touch in the 21st century. On this day, we honor all mothers, but more accurately, to honor the powerful symbol of mother as life bearer, the one who gives birth, then the nurturer, the giver of compassion. Wonderful qualities, many of which are found in all women, highlighted by the mother symbol. Nurturing and compassion, of course, are found in men too, but we'll save that for Father's Day next month. As noted, Mother is often a greatly idealized image, and as a symbol, it is excellent so long as we don't use it as some sort of a judgmental standard upon the mothers of our world. No mother is perfect, and certainly the idea of mother as a homebound kitchen slave and baby maker has been altered in the past 70 years with the liberation of women in society as a whole. Some of these places, of course, still are not quite there, but we have to rejoice in the places where they are. In fact, some of modern mothers are amazing for what they can accomplish. Like a story I came across about a teacher who gave her fifth grade class an assignment: get their fathers and mothers to tell them a story with a moral at the end of it. The next day, the kids came back and one by one began to tell their stories, all the regular types of stuff. I mean, spilled milk and mommy cleans it up and saving pennies to buy her a gift, all things like that. But then the teacher realized that only Janie was left. Janie, do you have a story to share? Janie hesitated and said, yes, ma'am. My daddy told me a story about my mommy when she was a Marine pilot in Desert Storm. Her plane got hit and she had to bail out over enemy territory. All she had was a flask of whiskey, a pistol, and a survival knife. She drank the whiskey on the way down so the bottle wouldn't break. Then her parachute landed her right in the middle of 20 Iraqi troops. She shot 15 of them with a pistol until she ran out of bullets, killed four more with a knife until the blade broke, and then she killed the last Iraqi with her bare hands. Good heavens, said the horrified teacher. Janie, what did your daddy tell you was the moral to this horrible story? Stay away from mommy when she's drinking. That's kind of a rough symbol of mother, but even this tongue-in-cheek model of a modern mom carries with it a hint of the real strength found in women. Our challenge is to realize that Jesus' command to agape one another is directed to you and to me, and that we are to pray for that to be our relationship to each other in here, to be able to say it and mean it as we say it, that we love each other, that you love all those, each and every one of your Christian family. I might even say that at the time of the peace, today we sort of heart each other instead of peace each other. It's a different way to look at things, but that is really what we're all about. The peace symbol, the heart symbol. That is what God promises, that is what God gives, and that's what you and I can nurture in the months ahead. Do that, and Christ the King will continue to grow as a dynamic group of real Christians. And so work on it, and pray for it. And as Jesus says, love one another. Amen.